This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 10th, 2017. The Second Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. To continue our homiletic journey through this whole concept of preparation, preparing ourselves during Advent. Every gospel for the past several weeks has spoken of preparing ourselves. We have heard about how to prepare, why we prepare. Today, let's speak of for what we prepare. We prepare ourselves. And this is an individual thing. We prepare ourselves for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear preparing, a lot of folks in our day say, what's Advent for? It's preparation, preparing for Christmas. Okay, yeah, it's a very general sense, but more so we are preparing for something much more specific, and that is the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Advent is not preparation for a generalized Christmas, so the gospel message, gospel in itself, the word gospel. And I don't want to see a show of hands. I don't want to hear anything thrown out as well. A definition of the gospel. What is the gospel? We hear it all the time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. The gospel of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it's a book in the Bible. It's actually four books in the Bible, some real sharp. Four books in the Bible. No, the gospel is not a book in the Bible. There are books in the Bible titled The Gospel According to St. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The gospel is something else. The gospel is a proclamation. The gospel is a proclamation, and not in a general sense as to something's proclaimed and I get to figure out what that might mean. The gospel is a proclamation that is very, very specific. It has a very specific content. That means when it has a very specific content, we have to approach it with obedience to that content as individuals. And when we present it to others, it has to be presented with that specific content. Not the parts we like, not without the parts that we do not like. The whole gospel. Because the gospel is a proclamation of the good news. That's what it literally means. The gospel, good news. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel has the authority of Almighty God. That authority is for everyone walking the face of this planet. Because everyone walking the face of this planet is, in a creative sense, a child of God. So we are bound to hear the news that He gives us. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In this year, the second cycle, the Gospel of Mark year that we find ourselves in liturgically with this three-year cycle. As we go through the Gospel of Mark, you will see Mark presented in a very up-in-your-face, very specific, very precise way. In the Gospel of Mark, you hear the word immediately a lot. Here's a story, and then immediately this, and then immediately this. He moves from time to time to time. Very, very, like I said, very explicit. He opens his gospel just the same way, very explicitly. He's the only one that opens his gospel this way. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For we Christians, let's move on. Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. We get that. No, you don't get it. You don't get it unless you really pay attention to what's going on there. Because we get it stuff. If you really got it, a lot of people would be living a whole lot different than they are now. Because of the authority that is born in just that one sentence. Where does it say anything about authority? Just the way it's laid out. Just the way it's presented. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice not the gospel from Jesus Christ, not the gospel given to us by Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This gospel is authoritative for everyone. Everyone, whether you be Jew, pagan, idolater, whatever, it is for everyone. It must be embraced by everyone to put them in a right standing with the true and living God. How do you get that out of that sentence? You get that out of that sentence because, for one, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ himself. It is what he says, what he does, his actions, his words, the signs that he gives us. It is about him and him alone. Him and him alone. He is the Son of God. You pagans who bend the knee to the idol of this, the idol of that, you've made a god up in your own mind, you worship the sun, you worship the moon, you worship everything. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So whichever one you got in your mind, this Jesus Christ is his son. Let him put you straight about who this God is that you've made up in your own mind. It's about Jesus Christ and him alone. Well, we're Jews. We're the chosen people. We have the law. So we can give or take this up. And that, unfortunately, is a presentation that we get a lot now. Oh, the Jews are okay because they're the chosen people. They call themselves sons of Abraham. That means they're all right. No, they're not. It is Jesus Christ and him alone that reconciles us with God. Where do you get that with the Jews? The next sentence, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Jews are all up in the prophets. Isaiah, the major of them. If Isaiah says it, it's gospel truth for a Jew. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Jews, this is for you. Just like it was for the pagans, it is for everyone. Hence Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do a whole lot of gymnastics linguistically with what's going on there. I'm a simple guy, not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'll just let Jesus says what he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me and through the proclamation of who I am as the Son of God. It bears that much authority. When it bears that much authority, we need to prepare ourselves for it. We need to prepare ourselves for it, to receive it. That doesn't mean when you were in faith formation for your confirmation. It doesn't mean before your baptism. It means we need to prepare ourselves every single day. Advent is a time when it's up in our face liturgically. A time of preparation. We as Catholics, our time of preparation should be daily. You know, we hear these churchy things like examination of conscience. That's just checking yourself. Check yourself every day. What have I done that I know wasn't what I should have done? Or what didn't I do that I know I should have done? Sins of commission and omission every day, go through that. That's preparation. Every time we come to Mass, it's a microcosm. Every time we come to Mass, You walk through those doors, guess what? I don't want to be crass, but shut up. It is not social time. It is not time to say hi to your friends, the person you haven't seen since last Sunday. It's a time to come in here and get on your knees and prepare for hearing the word of God. It is time to prepare yourself for receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ in the blessed sacrament of the altar. That is a time of preparation. Before anything even starts, you should start preparing. When things do start, we come up. Mass starts up there. Mass starts at the altar. We stop before we get there. We stop and we bend the knee and we go through what are referred to as the preparatory prayers. It is unfortunate. I hear a lot of clerics. Well, you don't do this in Mass because you've already done it at the foot of the altar. The foot of the altar isn't Mass. It's a preparatory prayer. Before we even ascend to the altar, confession. Me first and foremost. That's why I do my own. I'm not worthy to do what I'm going to do. I'm not even worthy to ascend those steps, much less presume to touch divinity. That's why I do my own confession. And then everybody does one. We prepare ourselves to begin Mass. And then, at the altar, Mass begins. We hear the word. Before the Holy Spirit descends from heaven at the words of the priest and changes bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, we prepare again through the penitential rite. Again, I hear frequently, you shouldn't do the penitential rite if you do the prayers at the foot of the altar because that's superfluous or redundant. No, it's not. No, it's not. A couple things can happen. One, you can hear something in a homily or through the Word of God that read, they go, you know what? I walked in here, I thought I was okay, but then I heard that and I'm not. So that's where you take care of that before the Holy Spirit, God Himself, comes down on the altar. So we prepare ourselves again. Or if that's not the case, we as Catholics, our mission is praying for others. So if you're good and you don't need to do another penitential rite, offer that prayer up for someone whom you know is not willing to pray for themselves or who might not be able to pray for themselves, like a deceased loved one or someone that is in a hospital somewhere unconscious. Pray for them. Pray that prayer for them. That's what we're supposed to do. That's part and parcel of being a Catholic. Okay? Whoever does for the least of these, does for me, a person that can't pray for themselves or won't, they are definitely the least of the brethren. We need to pray for them. That's why we do that. It's preparation. And then after the canon of the Mass, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior on the altar, before we presume to come and receive Him into ourselves, we have that prayer of humble access. It is preparatory for receiving Him. We do not presume to come to this Thy table, O Lord, trusting in our own righteousness. That's why we do those things. We are preparing ourselves. We need to be preparing ourselves every single day to receive our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be in the gospel of the Word or the gospel of His very presence, because the gospel is Jesus Christ. We need to prepare ourselves because it is our mission. We have been commanded to share that gospel with others. We cannot be selfish with the gospel. We need to take it within ourselves, and then we need to share it with others. And in sharing that gospel, we need to understand how profound it really is. How far do you think you're going to get in your witnessing to people? If you want to, do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, I don't. Read Mark. What does that do? What does that do for one thing, 99.99% aren't going to read Mark. You know how they're going to learn about the gospel is see you living it. How you speak, how you dress, it doesn't make any difference how I dress. It makes a tremendous difference. Tremendous difference. How you dress, how you speak, the language you use. That shows other people that it's real for you. If you're not living it, it's not real. You can know all kind of propositional facts about it, but it's not real. It doesn't become real until we prepare ourselves. Then we can proclaim the gospel in all its profound nature. We got to prepare ourselves. That's what we're called to do. One of the things in that gospel today, and you think, okay, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we got to prepare ourselves. What's first and foremost probably presented in the gospel, how we prepare ourselves? Confession. Confession. You mean, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, speaking in that context of John the Baptist. But what did John do? People were coming to him for this washing away of their sins, this ceremonial washing, this ritual confession. For them, it was symbolic. For us, it's real. Confession is the most important part of your preparation. They said, we do these confidiores and we do penitential rites. There is nothing that prepares your soul better for receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ than to be absent of sin. And the only place you become absent of sin is in the confessional. St. John Chrysostom says, and I quote, unless brought to it by repentance, people would not seek for pardon. We need to seek pardon. We need to seek pardon, and the only way you seek it is if you know you need it. That first reading today, talking about knowing that we are grass that, you know, is here one day and withers away the next. We got to get a perspective. We got to get a reality check on things. We're not going to be here forever. All right? It's weird. There are people that were here last year during Advent that aren't here this year. Not because they're hanging out at the house. They're not here anymore. We don't know if we have it this afternoon, much less next Advent. Okay? Don't like to be the downer as we're approaching Christmas, but it's really true. Hence the preparation. You don't know when things are coming. The only thing that we have going for us is the fact to know that this gospel that is Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is the fact that we have been baptized into his body. This union that we have as Catholics into that church that he founded on the rock, which is Peter. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Not the church, not a church, my church. To be a part of that church, you have to have the infusion of the Holy Spirit. John actually says that. He says, I baptize you with water, but he that is coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Can any human being impart the Holy Spirit? What human being has the authority and power to impart God? No human being does. Only the God-man can do that, Jesus Christ. It's like the bookend. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is the one that's going to come and impart the Holy Spirit through your baptism. Once that happens, you must prepare yourself. And when I say must, well, I don't want to. Fine, don't face the consequences. Because there are consequences. Because once you have the Holy Spirit, you are expected to work with him, to be obedient to him, to be directed by him, to bear the fruits that he provides, All these things are necessary for your salvation. It is all part and parcel of this preparation. This should be exciting. It should be exciting. It should excite you to, if you haven't up to this point, kind of grasped this, from henceforth, move on. Do the right thing. Prepare yourself daily. Every time you come to Mass, appreciate the fact when you go in there and it's loud and noisy, you need to go tell Father that that's inappropriate. If he hears that from enough people, he might go, maybe I'm wrong about that shows the vibrancy of my parish. No, it's disrespectful to God. And it's discourteous to people who are trying to pray. That's what it is. And that have anything to do with vibrancy. Once you understand these concepts and you start moving forward, you are being more and more every day prepared. We are waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ as judge, not as a babe in a manger. The second reading today, and I'll leave you with these words because the Holy Spirit does a whole lot better job than I do of being precise about things. We've heard about preparing. It is a glory to prepare. But there's a reason that we prepare. Is we want to be found proper by God when he comes back. And every moment that he gives us to better prepare is in his mercy. That's from 2 Peter, the second reading today. Beloved, since you wait, be zealous to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace, and count the forbearance of the Lord as salvation. In Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.